It's in Luke chapter 2 and verse 1. In those days, Caesar Augustus issued a decree that a census should be taken of the entire Roman world. This was the first census that took place while Quirinius was governor of Syria. And everyone went to their town, their own town, to register. So Joseph went up from the town of Nazareth in Galilee to Judea, to Bethlehem, the town of David. Because he belonged to the house of the line of David, he went there to register with Mary, who was pledged to be married to him, and was expecting a child. While they were there, the time came for the baby to be born. And she gave birth to her firstborn, a son. She wrapped him in cloths and placed him in a manger, because there was no guest room available for them. And there were shepherds living out in the fields nearby, keeping a watch over their flocks at night. An angel of the Lord appeared to them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them. And they were terrified. But the angel said to them, "Do not be afraid. I bring you good news that will cause great joy for all the people. Today in the town of David, a Savior has been born to you. He is the Messiah, the Lord. This will be a sign to you. You will find a baby wrapped in cloths, laying in a manger." Suddenly a great company of the heavenly hosts appeared with the angel, praising God and saying, "Glory to God in the highest heaven, and on earth be peace on those in whom his favor rests." When the angels left them and gone into heaven, the shepherds said to one another, "Let's go to Bethlehem and see this thing that has happened, which the Lord has told us about." So they hurried off and found Mary and Joseph and the baby, who was lying in a manger. When they had seen him, they spread word concerning what had been told about this child. And all who heard it were amazed at what the shepherds said to them. But Mary treasured up all these things and pondered them in her heart. The shepherds returned, glorifying and praising God for all the things they had heard and seen, which was just as they had been told. On the eighth day, when it was time to circumcise the child, he was given the name Jesus, the name the angel had given him before he was conceived. Matthew's account of the visit of the Magi. After Jesus was born in Bethlehem in Judea during the time of King Herod, Magi from the east came to Jerusalem and asked, "Where is the one who has been born King of the Jews? We saw his star when it rose and we have come to worship him." When King Herod heard this, he was disturbed, and all Jerusalem with him. When he called together the people's chief priests and teachers of the law, and he asked them where the Messiah was to be born, "In Bethlehem in Judea," they replied, "for this is what the prophet has written. But you, Bethlehem, in the land of Judea, are by no means least amongst the rulers of Judah. For out of you will come a ruler who will shepherd my people Israel." Then Herod called the Magi secretly and found out from them the exact time the star had appeared. He sent them to Bethlehem and said, "Go search carefully for the child. As soon as you find him, report to me so that I too may go and worship him." After they had heard the king, they went on their way, and the star had seen where it rose ahead of them until it stopped over the place where the child was. When they saw the star, they were overjoyed. On coming to the house, they saw the child with his mother Mary, and they bowed down and worshipped him, and they opened their treasures to present him with gifts of gold, frankincense and myrrh. And having been warned in a dream not to go back to Herod, they returned to their country by another route. Christmas time is filled with many different types of wonderful traditions. If you go to the Philippines this season, you'll come across a festival of giant lanterns. This is a picture of them. Where in this season, 11 different villages compete to build the most largest and elaborate of lanterns. In Europe, you'll find the Austrians pair St. Nicholas with a demonic figure named Krampus to scare the kids. Nick rewards good boys and Krampus punishes the bad ones. There's a way to get your kids into bed at night. And if you go to Iceland, you hear of the 13 Yule lads, 13 tricksy trolls who break into home, lick spoons, slam doors, steal yogurt. Why yogurt? I don't know, but it's yogurt. And in our own churches, we used to bring a toy to church to show that what Father Christmas had brought us. Christmas means a lot of things to different people with lots of different traditions. For some, it's a time of shopping and spending. For some, it's a time of drinking and partying, time of travelling and entertaining. What's the real meaning of Christmas? For God so loved the world that he gave his one and only Son, that whoever believes in him shall not perish, but have eternal life. For God did not send his Son into the world to condemn the world, but to save the world through him. Whoever believes in him is not condemned, but whoever does not believe stands condemned already, because they have not believed in the name of God's one and only Son. This is the verdict. Light has come into the world, but the people love darkness. Instead of light, because of their deeds, they were evil. Everyone who does evil hates the light and will never come to the light for the fear that their deeds will be exposed. Whoever lives by the truth comes into that light, so that it may be seen plainly that what they have done has been done in the sight of God. Maybe an unusual Christmas reading, but the first thing that this reading starts with is God, of course. God, it starts and finishes with God. God is a familiar word, but it's one that needs defining sometimes. God is not a reference to some God of our own making, something that we've designed in our own image. It's not a generic reference to a divine being. Different religions call it by different names. No, God in John 3:16 is the God of the Bible, the one, the only. It's a reference to the maker of the universe, the Lord of history, the righteous judge, the almighty redeemer. Specifically, it's a reference to God the Father who sent his Son into the world. It's not a generic reference to deity, small g God. It's big G God. The personal word of address to the God who far exceeds anything else in creation. This is the God of Christmas, the one who sends his love by sending his Son, which leads us to the second word, love. We show lots of love at Christmas, love for each other, loving gifts, cards, time spent. God loves the world. Love is the greatest gift, agape love, that unmerited, undeserved love that comes from God. That's the love that God has for us and he wants for us to have for others. 1 Corinthians 13 verse 13 has from that wonderful passage, and now these three things remain, faith, hope and love, but the greatest of these is love. There's nothing greater in the universe than love, and God is love. The very beating heart of being a Christian, love in all that we do. Then there's the verse here that in that verse it says, God so loved the world. The word world there is the word cosmos. All of creation loved by God, not just earth, but all of creation, all peoples, all neighbours, all communities. Jesus died for the whole of creation to stop the rot. We need to broaden our definition of Jesus came at Christmas for everyone, not just the few, not just the few in church, but for everyone, Jesus came. And then that he gave. Simplify your giving this Christmas. Perhaps it's a good message for all of us. But Christmas is a time of giving. But we give because God gave first. No one can outdo what God has done. No one can give a greater gift than God has already given. For God so loved the world that he gave. It means that love cannot look on with indifference on the hungry, the sick, the displaced, the lonely, those victims of war. lost souls of this world. Love must give. God gave all he could give. He gave his only son. And the gift was freely given, lovingly given, graciously given to all of us. Day by day, those who receive him are being transformed into his image until we come to the full stature of the perfected children of God. Then we read that it was Jesus was his only son. God gave the ultimate in his son, and Jesus emptied himself, became God, became human from God. Philippians 2 verse 6 says, who being in the very nature God, did not consider equality with God something to be used for his own advantage. Rather, he made himself nothing, taking on the very nature of a servant, being made in human likeness, and being found in appearance as a man, he humbled himself by becoming obedient to death, even death on a cross. It's there again that Jesus came, he was born in a stable, but born in order to die. His answer included, centuries ago, a man by the name of Anselm asked the question, why did God become man? His answer included two truths that led to one conclusion. Only a man can pay the debt humanity owed to God, but only God had the resources to pay the debt. Therefore, God had to become a man. And then lastly, it says that none should perish. God's desire is all should be saved. 1 Timothy 2:4 says, who wants all people to be saved and come to a knowledge of the truth? For there is one God, one mediator between God and mankind, the man Jesus Christ, who gave himself as a ransom for all people. This now has been witnessed at the proper time. Our God is doing everything he can to save the people of this world so that we can be saved. And this is the good news of Christmas. Eternal life for all followers of Jesus. It's just what John 3:16 teaches about Christmas. That all that believe in the Son may find love and life in him. And that's why we celebrate Christ's birth. Not merely another tradition like passing round the ever smaller box of Quality Street. But it's good news that God's love has come into the world, making a way for sinners who repent and believe and have the gift of his Son. So today, enjoy the traditions passed down by your family, whether you've already opened your presents or you wait until after the Queen's speech, or King's speech, I should say. And remember to give for Jesus. Remember to give God the thanks for Jesus and our salvation, the true meaning of Christmas. And thankfully, that's good news for everyone. Let's pray. We thank you that at this Christmas we remember what Christ has done for us. That we do not leave him in a cradle, but we allow him to grow into a man, and we allow him to be the way, the truth, and the life. May we this Christmas remember Christ the Saviour, born for humanity. In Jesus' name, Amen.